Hello and welcome to this reflection from Streatham Vale Baptist Church. I wonder if any of you, like me, are fed up yet of the bombardment we get from advertisements suggesting this diet or that gym membership or that or those meal replacement shakes that are all designed to allow us to reinvent ourselves into the new me that is apparently needed to be accepted in our society. It seems that every time I turn on the TV or see a billboard in the street or listen to the radio, I'm constantly being told that I cannot live without X, Y, or Z, or that if I want to really fit in and impress people, I must have the newest fad. We are told that we need to strive and struggle to find acceptance or fulfillment. But rarely do we ever find it. Often we find ourselves questioning more and more about our identity, purpose, and the meaning of our lives. When we try to achieve the approval of other people, we find ourselves taking on their perspectives of ourselves. People assign us labels, or we put on labels ourselves that tell us what kind of person we are, how we behave, what we think, how we speak, and so on. We are told the lie that labels help us to understand ourselves and for people to understand us and help us to understand other people. But these labels do not truly reflect who we are. By definition, labels are overgeneralizations, restrictive, irrelevant, incomplete, or just completely inaccurate. They do not allow room for difference, growth, transformation, or redemption. The only labels that matter are the ones we receive from God. We are a new creation in God. And that is where we get our identity from. So let's listen as I read 2 Corinthians 5, verses 11 to 21. Since then we know what it is to fear the Lord, we try to persuade others. What we are is plain to God, and I hope it is also plain to your conscience. We are not trying to commend ourselves to you again, but are giving you an opportunity to take pride in us so that you can answer those who take pride in what is seen rather than in what is in the heart. If we are out of our mind, as some say, it is for God. And if we are in our right mind, it is for you. For Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. A new creation. Paul, writing to the church in Corinth, reminds them, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here. Another translation in the Message puts it this way. Now we look inside, and what we see is that anyone united with the Messiah gets a fresh start, is created new. The old life is gone, a new life emerges. Look at it. Anyone united with the Messiah gets a fresh start. For many of us, the new year represents a chance to start anew. But the only real way that we gain a fresh start is from being united with the Messiah. In him, we are a new creation. That means that all the labels we have put on ourselves or that others have assigned to us are thrown aside because God has made us new. Our identity is found in Christ, and it is only the titles that he gives us that are important. The world labels that we often wear tell us that we are not enough, that we need to be better. I wonder how many of you have said this statement or a statement like it. I can't do that. I'm just a small, simple word, but one that has significance when we assign it to ourselves or to others. When we use the word just, we disqualify ourselves or put ourselves down. But God doesn't tell us that you're just a. Instead, he says to us, you are enough. And just as you are enough. This is because God reconciled himself to us. He took the initiative and made the first move towards us. We are enough because God has made us enough. We do not need to strive because God has already done the work. He has redeemed us. As Paul explains, through the cross and the resurrection, God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. Our past does not define our current and our future relationship with God. And so it should not define our identity in the world. Our identity, our very life, is hidden in Christ. We no longer have to be defined by the world's standards and the labels that it uses. Instead, we are given recognition and status from God. Paul refers to us as Christ's ambassadors because God committed to us the message of a reconciliation. An ambassador is one who represents one land or state to another, and this is what we are called to do on behalf of Christ. We are called to represent the kingdom of God to the world. Because we live for Christ instead of ourselves, we represent his kingdom and no longer live according to the norms of this world. We are able to be Christ's ambassador because Jesus has made us children of God. In 1 John it says, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are." Jesus has taken our sin, and although even though he had no sin, so that we might become the righteous of God, welcomed into God's family and made children of God. All of us should remind us that we are not defined by our age, our status, health, wealth, past, struggles, triumphs, or anything else that the world defines us by. These may be descriptors or indicators of your situation, but your true identity is who God says you are. Nothing more, nothing less. Who does God say you are? He says you are loved beyond measure. You are chosen. You are enough. What labels have you taken on to define yourself? How many of those labels are contrary to what God says about you? You are a new creation, redeemed by Christ, accepted into God's family, a child of God. No other label given to you by anyone else matters. Of course, it's easy to say that no other label from anyone else matters, but it's a lot harder to live out that kind of life. And this is in part because the world wants people to conform to its standards and values. And so when we try to reject those labels, we are open to attack from those who cling to the ways of this world. And we see this so often. When someone is considered different, they are rejected or scorned for not fitting in. The world screams that we should all fit in, be like others, or we risk getting attacked for who we are and what we believe in. And it's clear that Paul faced this kind of attack from others. In verse 13, he says, "If we are out of our mind, as some say, it is for God. It is, if we are in our right mind, it is for you." Clearly, some people, maybe some in the Corinthian church, had been suggesting that Paul was crazy or out of his mind for living the way Christ had called him to live. Paul was being attacked, even by the very people he was trying to teach and disciple, because he no longer conformed to the world's ways. The way of life for Christians should be starkly different to the way others live. What we are is plain to God, and I hope it is also plain to your conscience. That's what Paul says. The way we live should broadcast who our allegiance is to. If our allegiance is to the world, then we live as any other person in the world. But if our allegiance is to Christ, we should live distinctly, showing that Christ is our Lord. How do our lives demonstrate our loyalty to God? In what way do we live distinctively, differently to others? What might God be calling you to do to be distinctive for this new year? It's also worth noticing that although Paul is responding to the attacks he is getting, he's not trying to boast or big himself up. I like the Good News translation of verse 12, which says, "I hope you realise how much and deeply we care. We are not saying this to make ourselves look good to you. We just thought it would make you feel good, proud even, that we are on your side and not just nice to your face as so many people are." Paul wants to show the depths of his compassion and concern for the Corinthians, that they may learn to judge people by what is in someone's heart and not by how they appear. And he wants us to know this too. Paul accepts that he's been attacked for his faith, but he's not boasting or trying to overcome the attacks by other dubious means. Instead, he just speaks the truth of God and allows his actions and way of life to demonstrate what he says is true. When we are attacked for the things we believe, we need to ensure our lives match up to the things we say and believe. How does your life reflect your belief? When we accept Christ and choose to follow him full-heartedly, we become a new creation. We are being transformed into the image of Christ. And so we begin to look at the world and to see it through God's eyes. I love the sentiment that Paul expresses in verse 16. "So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer." In this verse, Paul makes a powerful statement that we are not bound by the perspectives of the world, but instead are given the insight of God. This is an overwhelming statement, and one that should encourage us to continue to see others as God sees them. We live in a divisive and fractured world where we constantly judge each other, making assessments about who someone is and what they are like by what they wear, where they live, how they behave, and so many other factors. If we just watch the news for a few minutes, we will see something that demonstrates the way humanity judges each other, whether it's in international affairs and politics, or economics, or even environmental issues. We are constantly competing with each other and regarding others from a worldly perspective. But God calls us to a higher standard. He reminds us that he created everyone and everything. All have value in his eyes. We have been redeemed from the power of sin, which causes us to judge others. And so God teaches us to look with his eyes, to speak with his words, to listen with his ears, and to work with his hands. We are Christ's ambassadors. This means that we need to look at the world and listen to it with the patience, righteousness, wisdom, compassion, and love of God. Think for a moment about how you see the world. Take time to be truly honest with yourself and ask yourself, what do you think about the people around you? Become aware of where you might have prejudices or biases. And then ask the Holy Spirit to touch all those parts of you that aren't in line with his perspective. Ask God to cleanse you of the negative perspectives and judgments within you. Above all, ask God to open your eyes to see with his eyes. This is an exercise we all need to do regularly, because it is so easy to get blinded by the many things that try to influence how we view, interact with, and understand people. We try to use labels as a shortcut to understand someone, but this quick fix solution only ever causes more problems. Only by looking to God and asking for his wisdom and insight can the world truly become a better place. So as we think about the impact of labels on ourselves and on others, recognise that our identity comes only from Christ. In God we find we are a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. This identity tells us that we are enough, we are loved, we are chosen, we are children of God. Take strength from the knowledge of your identity in Christ, because you will face attacks from others. But do not let those attacks harden your hearts. Instead, ask God to continually open your eyes so that you see the world from his perspective. Let's pray. Almighty God, we thank you that you have redeemed us. You have made us new. Because of Jesus, we are a new creation. We are loved and chosen by you. We are enough. And Lord, I pray that we would hold on to that truth of our identity, so that when we are put down or attacked for living in the ways of your kingdom, we would not be overcome, but instead would be strengthened by your Spirit. And Lord, I pray that you would open our eyes to see the world through your eyes, as you see it. Help us, Lord, to be ambassadors for you, who truly represent your kingdom to this earth. In this we pray. Amen.